I want us to go tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and this is a scripture that's an offshoot of a dream that I had last night. And in the dream, the Lord gave me some things for this message here tonight. And I didn't know who all was going to be here. I know summertime and all that, but it looks like it's mostly everybody that's here. Amen. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. I want to read down through verse 14. Remember the days of old. It's time to look back. It's time for somebody to look back and remember the days of old with the Lord. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Just ask the pastor. Ask some folks that's been around a long time. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Everybody said the apple of his eye. That's what I want to call this tonight, the apple of his eye. Let's read on. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Praise God. Blessing, 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 blessing. Because we became the apple of his eye. The apple of his eye. Let's pray together tonight. Let's ask for the help of the Lord. And ask God to help us to focus our attention tonight for a few moments upon the Word of God. Father, we thank you. Father, we reach out to you tonight. We ask you, Lord, to lay your hand upon this service. Let the Word of God find its mark in every heart. Give you honor, praise, and thanks tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. The apple of his eye refers to the love that somebody has for someone else or for something. The apple of his eye is not just a fondness or a casual friendship. It is something that is extreme. It is something that is continually on your mind. And when we think about it tonight, we can think about it this way, that this is how the Lord feels about us. Amen. This is how God feels about his people, that we have become the apple of his eye, the thing that he thinks about the most, the thing that he loves the most, amen, the thing that he cherishes and has become a one-of-a-kind treasure that he has for himself. Praise God. Now, I want to bring out something tonight that I received in a dream last night. I've already mentioned that. I want to write a few things down, and then I'm going to go back and minister a little bit and going to try to put this all together. As I was dreaming, I can't even really tell you exactly what the dream was about, but this came to me. Everybody said hearing. All right. Everybody said reasoning. All right. Everybody said sense of value. Affection. Two more. Everybody said commitment. And then last but not least, love. Everybody said love. All right. As we're going through this here tonight, I hope that this is going to touch somebody's heart and help somebody. But those are the things that I received last night. I want to bring it to you here tonight because when we talk about hearing leads to reasoning. It's school time is over with, and all the young people said amen. Wow. We could go ask them if you could go through summer school if it's that exciting. Amen. But school's over with. But during the school season, we hear a lot of things. And we are made by our hearing to go to reasoning. Amen. And then when we go to reasoning, it leads us to a deeper understanding, and it goes to a place of a sense of value. Amen. What is this worth to me? Is it worth something because I have researched it, I have reviewed it, I have looked at it, and I have come to a place where there is a sense of value toward this? And then the sense of value is going to lead to affection, and you can put that on a scale of 1 to 10 of affection, and if it's not, if there is not a sense of value toward a particular thing, then your affection is going to be measured by that as well. It won't be that much affection, or it will be a lot of affection. Amen. And then affection leads to commitment, and the commitment level, of course, will also be relative to the amount of affection that you have toward the thing, and then the commitment will lead to love. Amen. And again, that love will be reckoned to a scale of no love, very little love, or most love. Amen. And so I want to try to speak to somebody's heart here tonight. I want us to see the tremendous opportunity that we have to have a true, deep love relationship with God Almighty. Amen. What we've got to do is we've got to hear. Thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. Haven't heard anything about the services since we were gone, so I don't know how you measured the services, but I know you've heard some of the Word of God. Amen. You've heard from the Word of the Lord, and we hear from the Word of the Lord. The hearing is something that leads us to considering or to reasoning. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 1. And I know I'm going to be reading a little bit of scripture here, and I'm going to hurry as quickly as I can, but I want the Lord to have his way here tonight. Ezekiel 16 and verse 1, again, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. Nothing to brag about there. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion unto thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Amen. And so God, and keep your finger there in Ezekiel chapter 16, because here is the beginning of the nation of Israel. It wasn't really a whole lot to talk about. Amen. And if we are to look at our lives here tonight, for many of us that are here tonight, there's not a lot that we can talk about that's good. Not a lot that we can say that's positive. We have done this or done that, and we've accomplished this or accomplished that in this life. And in fact, for some of us here tonight, our past can be downright embarrassing. Amen. when you talk about the lineage of your life and the things that happened in your life. And here they were in a completely hopeless situation, and God speaks about them as someone who is cast out into an open field, and nobody cared about them. Nobody was concerned about their life. Amen. Nobody, he said, you weren't swaddled. That means they wrapped them up. You were not salted. In those days, they would actually rub an infant down with a salt solution and then wrap them up and swaddle them, and they would cut their navel, and they would take care of them. They would wash them and give them a good start in life. But he said, nobody did that for you. They were completely in a hopeless situation with nobody to care for them, nobody that was important. Amen. And as they laid in the open field, the Lord said, I pass by thee. And I want to read that. He said, and when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, live when thou wast in thine own blood. Live. Yea, I said unto you, live. Amen. And so the Lord passed by in this field. We know the field is the world. Amen. And we know that it is speaking of Israel here, but it also speaks of you and I before we came to God. I've had people tell me, well, I feel like I'm a really good person, and I feel like I'm saved because I'm a good person. Oh, God, help me to never get to the place where I feel that way about myself. Amen. Because in reality, every one of us have been out in that open field. Amen. We were wallowing in our own sins. We were far, far away from God. Somebody could help me here tonight. That's where you were at. That's where I was at. Amen. But he passed by. Amen. He passed by. Thank God he passed by, because who knows where all of us would be here tonight. Some have said, I would be dead if I was not, if it was not for the Lord, or if it was for the church. Others have said, I could be in a hospital somewhere, or I could be dead right now, whatever the situation is. Folks, if we can come to the understanding of that, we've come a long, long way. Amen. Praise God. And he saw Israel out there with nowhere to turn and nobody to help and nobody to love. And he passed by and he said, live. Amen. I'm thankful for the day that the Lord said to me, live. Amen. I'm going to deliver you from death. I'm going to deliver you from destruction. Well, praise God. I'm going to bring a word of salvation. Amen. I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to wash you. Amen. I'm going to wash all of that pollution off of you. Amen. And I'm going to take care of you. Nobody pitied you. Amen. But the Lord said, when I saw you, I passed by and I said, live. Amen. And then he goes on and he said, I have caused you to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skins, and covered thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk. These are spiritual things that the Lord has done for his New Testament church. I decked thee also with ornaments. Thank God for the truths that we're decked with here tonight. And I put bracelets upon thy hand and a chain on thy neck. And that's not the chain of bondage. Amen. But it is the chain of love. And I put a jewel upon thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. And thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou did prosper into a nation or into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth from the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. Amen. There was a progression here that I see in this, a progression that I've written out here on the chalkboard for you to look at. I know this isn't necessarily a normal style of preaching here, but there was something about the Lord when he came through this field of this world and he passed by. Why did he pass by? I think he passed by because he heard something. Amen. There was something that he heard. It was the cry of that little baby out in the field that nobody cared about. They just dumped him along the side of the road and went on their way, kind of like Moses in the little ark. And he was crying, and the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, rather, heard something. And so the Lord heard our cry. Aren't you thankful that he heard our cry? He heard my cry. And we could go to a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to tonight. But God hears our cry. And then I believe that when the Lord came along, he saw us polluted in our blood. Amen. He saw us in our pitiful condition. And he could have passed on by and said, take care of yourself. Fend for yourself. See, you got yourself into this own mess. Get yourself out of this mess. But there was a reasoning in the mind and the heart of God that said, I wonder if I can do something with this situation. I wonder if I can salvage this individual. I wonder if I can pick this individual up and do something with their life. And as he passed by, he looked upon this now unborn nation. Amen. And he said, I wonder if I can do something with this. And I can only imagine in my mind the thoughts that went through the mind of God as God began to reason this out. I wonder if I could take this and go through a plan. And of course, we know that God already had everything reasoned out ahead of time. Amen. But he began to reason in his mind. And as he began to reason in his mind, all of a sudden there became a sense of value of this child that was laying here in the open field. Amen. There became a belief. There became something in the heart of God that said, I believe I can do something with this. I've come to the conclusion I can actually do something with this one right here. It seems like sometimes, you know, that we're way out there somewhere and nobody cares about us and nobody's concerned about our life. But I'm telling you tonight, God has heard your cry. And God has come along and he's reasoned some things out in his mind. And he's not ready to throw you away. Praise God. He's not ready to say it's over with. Amen. But he has come to a place of value, a sense of value. And when he saw the value of you and I, then there came into the heart of God an affection. Amen. An affection. There became a sense of attraction and affection. And the Bible says he took off his skirt and he wrapped him up. It wasn't over with. There was blood all over the place. There was weeping and crying by this child. Amen. But he wrapped him up in his robe. And somewhere down the road there was a well. Or there was a stream. And he bent over the side of the stream and he began to wash off the blood. And he began to wash off all of those things that had polluted them. Or polluted him, rather. And it was an affection. Amen. It was an affection that caused him to wash him thoroughly with water. He didn't just dip him down in the water and bring him back up, but he cleaned out his fingernails, cleaned out his toenails. Amen. He washed him thoroughly, cleaned him behind his ears, and cleaned him until he was thoroughly, completely washed and clean. Praise God. Because God had come to a place of value. Amen. A sense of value of what you're worth to God. Amen. Of what you're worth to Him. And it brought an affection of God. And thank God it wasn't just a feeling that God had toward us. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. It wasn't just a feeling that God had. But it was more than that. It was something, it was an affection that led God to a commitment. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And He said, I entered into a covenant with you. I entered into a covenant with you. I'm going to make a commitment to you. Praise God. When you need me, I'm going to be there. When you call upon me, I'm going to be there. Amen. When you need help, I'm the one that's going to come and help you. Because I've come now to a place where I'm ready to commit myself to you. To offer to you a covenant that I want to have with you. And He entered into a covenant with Israel, entered into a covenant with you and I. And that commitment led Him to supreme love. Amen. Amen. A love that extended beyond this little baby that was in the field called Israel. Amen. But extended to every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever be born on the face of this earth. And it was a love. Amen. It was a love that drove Him to Calvary. It was the love of God. Amen. That brought Him to this world and to robe Himself in flesh. Amen. This was the progression of God toward you and I. Amen. Life was given to us. Strength was given to us. Purity, holiness, and His life was given to each and every one of us. Amen. We ought to thank God for that tonight. Somebody ought to thank God right now. That God came and loved us and committed Himself to you and I. Praise God. And that life was given to us through the preaching of the Word of God. This progression that I have here tonight, amen. I hope this is going to touch somebody's life. But there was another passing in this world, and that was you and I. You see, there was the passing of the Lord by this little baby in the field. But let's look at it from the other standpoint, amen, of us passing through this field, of us coming into this life and coming to a place where we find ourselves out in a field and we're wallowing in our blood and we don't know what to do. Amen. Do you still remember the day, praise God, when you prayed and you said, God, I need more in my life? Do you remember the day when you called on Him and you didn't even know how to pray? Amen. Somebody told me just the other day, they said, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know what to do when I come before God. And I thought, I've been there. I know exactly. But thank God we've come to a place. We were invited to the house of God. And we heard the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. You remember the day that you heard the preaching of the Word of God? And something touched you way down deep inside of your heart. Anybody? Amen. I remember that day. We can't have faith without preaching. We've got to hear the Word of God. Thank God that there is a hearing tonight. And then when we heard the Word of God, there was a time of reasoning where we stood and we said, well, let me think about this. Sounds good. I wonder if it's really real. Amen. I'm going to reason this out in my mind. I'm going to think about this. And that's good, because you've got to reason some things out in your mind. The Lord said, don't go build a place until you've got enough money to finish it. Amen. You got to reason some things out. Don't go to battle until you've reasoned it out ahead of time. Amen. And we took the time. We're here tonight because we spent a little bit of time reasoning this out and thinking about this. All of you young people, this may not apply to you tonight, because you're here because your parents brought you to the house of God. You're here tonight because somebody said it's time to go to church, and you're going because we said you're going. But somewhere down the road, you're going to have to come to a place where you reason this thing out. Well, praise God. Somewhere down the road of life, you're going to have to stop, and you're going to have to think about, why am I going to church? Why do I read the Bible? Is God really God? Amen. Is this the truth? Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid of that. Because when you get sincere and you begin to reason things out, truth will begin to open up to you. Amen. And we begin to reason. And then there came to us a sense of value. Now, I'm not talking about extreme here. I'm talking about a scale of 1 to 10 maybe. And when you reasoned, and when you got a sense of value by your reasoning. Some folks don't have a lot of depth when it comes to their reasoning ability. And they just say, well, I go there because I feel good. Amen. I go there because I like the pastor. I go there because I have a friend that goes there. And there is an intrinsic value that you've set in this relationship with the Lord and coming to the house of God. Amen. It may be a 1 or it may be a 10, but it's all based upon your reasoning of the matter here tonight. And there came a sense of value. That's why you're here tonight. I hope that's why you're here tonight, because you have seen a certain value to this place. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I look at it as a very valuable place, a place that's worth my time and my consideration and my involvement. Amen. And after you've come to a place of value, then there comes an affection. Amen. This is where things begin to get really strong. Amen. This is where it's more than just a feeling. Amen. Well, it is a feeling, and a sense of value brings an affection. Amen. I remember the first motorcycle I ever bought. I couldn't wait to polish it. Amen. I thought about it quite a bit. Amen. Can't wait till class is over, so I can go get on my motorcycle and drive my motorcycle. And I was just a young, immature boy. But there was a certain level of affection. Amen. A friend tonight, saint of God, whoever you are here tonight, wherever you're at in your walk with God, I'm telling you, you've got to go through these steps if you're going to make it to heaven. There's got to develop in your heart an affection for God. There's got to develop in your heart the saying that David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. There's an affection in my heart. Oh, come on, folks. I'm not teaching a college class here tonight. I'm telling you what, we worship because we have an affection for God. We lift our hands and we pray because we love God. Down in our hearts, there's a feeling. Amen. There's an emotional feeling that comes. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. When am I going to come into the presence of God? And this affection is something that develops. And then after the affection, there is a commitment. Amen. There is a commitment on a scale of 1 to 10. Oh, well, I'll come if I feel good. I'll come if everything is all right. Or I'm going to be there no matter what, and everything in between. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to us here tonight. Amen. I know it's a Tuesday night off service, but I feel like God gave me this for this service here tonight. There's got to come a place of commitment. Amen. God committed himself to us. Amen. He committed himself. He gave everything to you and I because your love for God and your love for the world or your love for your friends, your love for your husband or your wife is going to be based upon a progression that's right there tonight. Well, praise God. Praise God, because it comes down to love. What do you love the most? Praise God. And he washed us and he cleansed us and he decked us out. Oh, if we could see ourselves as God sees us. Praise the Lord. We see ourselves as we see ourselves. We see each other and we see our faults and all of those kinds of things. But I'm telling you tonight, I've got to see how God sees me. Well, praise the Lord. I want to see myself as God sees me. Amen. He sees me decked out with truth tonight. Praise God. He sees me tonight covered with the beautiful gold and silver and all of those things. Amen. And he said, you came to great beauty. Amen. And he said, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. Praise God. Don't let anybody tell you that our way of living is not beautiful. The Bible says it's the beauty of holiness. Amen. It's a one of a kind in this world that is so filled with itself and so filled with ugliness and perversion and polluting. Amen. Polluted itself. Amen. And they came to this place of beauty. You know what? That's what happened when you received the Holy Ghost. That's what happened when you were baptized in Jesus' name. That's what happened when we came to a place of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. We were thoroughly washed. We were thoroughly cleansed. Doesn't mean that we have thoroughly arrived, but we have grown in this. We have traveled in this for a particular season of time. And we're here tonight because of him. We're here tonight because of his grace and his mercy. We're here tonight because he covered us. Amen. He washed us. Praise God. He's given us good things to eat. Amen. Well, praise God. We're not getting leftovers from somebody who doesn't care. But we're getting good things. We're getting good bread. Amen. We're getting a good word when we come to the house of God. Praise the Lord. That's why we've grown. And that's why we've come to the place where we are. May I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. But there comes a place, and there's a spot on here that I want to just come back to. And it's right here. Amen. There's a line right here that you've got to understand. These are areas, amen, affection, reasoning, value. Those are things that especially the affection part, that when we come to God, we have this great feeling of joy and this great feeling of happiness, this euphoria, as it were. Amen. That comes only when your sins are washed away. I remember when I came out of the water in Jesus' name, I felt about that high off the ground. And for days and weeks, I felt like I was walking on a cloud. Amen. You know why? Because I had been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Praise God. A heavy load had been taken off of my shoulder. And now I'm walking light. I'm walking free. Praise God. What a wonderful feeling salvation is. Anybody feel that way tonight? What a wonderful feeling salvation is. But I'm here to tell us tonight, that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. That's not the end of the journey. That's not the end of the relationship. That's the beginning of the relationship. And can I say it this way tonight? That when you were born again, that was the least of your spiritual experiences that God has for you. Think about it tonight. That's not the height. I'm thankful for the day that I was born. We celebrate our birthdays, don't we? But who wants to go back to that day? Not me. I don't want to go back to that. I don't even remember it. Amen. But I still don't want to go back to it. I'd take a few years in the going back. But I don't have that opportunity here tonight. Amen. But I can't go back. And I don't want to go back. Amen. I don't want to go back to that place. I want to grow up and get a job and buy a house. I want to grow up and get some property. Amen. I want to grow up and make something out of my life and help somebody else and do something with my life. Well, praise God. I don't want somebody feeding me with a bottle the rest of my life. I don't want somebody having to pat me on the back all the time. Amen. I don't want somebody to have to tell me, you do this or else. No, I don't want to do that. Amen. I don't want to go there. Oh, praise God. But I want to go higher. I want to go further. And the only way, you can't stay in this first area right here. You can't operate in this area. You got to go beyond that to commitment. Because the only way you'll know how to buy a house is to be committed to a job. The only way you'll ever have a new vehicle in your parking lot, in your driveway, is to learn what the word commitment means. Praise God. The only way that you're ever going to get any of these things, amen, is when you understand and you learn what God has for your future. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We don't run around and jump all around and do foolish things when we're adults, do we? You know why? Because it's no longer just the thrill, the magic of every day. Amen. The feeling and the joy, the rolling on the ground, the laughing hysterically, doing all kinds of foolish things. Amen. We was on our little trip, and a couple of the girls, my wife's nieces, all they did was giggle. Amen. That's all they did was giggle. And I said, I wonder how many giggles it takes to grow a girl. Amen. It's got to take quite a few, because we heard a lot of giggles. Amen. They'd go in the back room, we'd hear them giggling. In the back seat of the car, and they were giggling. Amen. I wonder how many giggles it takes to make a girl. Amen. That would be an interesting study. But you girls that are here tonight, you're just kind of looking at me like, you know what? I'm past the giggle stage. Amen. I'm past the giggle stage for the most part. Amen. But we've got some here tonight that are still in the giggle stage. Amen. Well, praise God. And we want to come to church and we want to play hide and seek. And we come to the house of God and we just want to have fun. Oh, it's just all about having fun. Oh no, it's not all about having fun. It's taking that sense of value, reasoning out that sense of value, and letting it lead you to a commitment. Amen. And that commitment, if you want to buy yourself a house, you've got to commit yourself to go to work when you have a headache. You got to commit yourself to go to work when you don't feel like going to work. Amen. You've got to commit yourself to working and having that job. Amen. When situations are against you. Amen. When stress is high. When somebody, a coworker, whatever, you don't get along with. Amen. When you see what's actually going on your new job. Amen. And it diminishes the joy and the excitement and the thrill of showing up on a new job. Amen. That's why a lot of folks, they just stay right here. And they go from job to job to job. They go from relationship to relationship to relationship. They go from one thing to another because they can't get to a place of commitment. I want to try to help somebody here tonight. This isn't going to be a shouting off the rooftop message, but if you can get a hold of this, it'll take you all the way to heaven. You've got to come to a place of commitment in your life. Praise God. Because it's the only way that you're going to really understand true love. Hallelujah. It's the only way you're ever going to understand what true love is all about. True love is not all about feelings. It's not all bells and whistles and stars. Well, praise God. But it comes down to dirty laundry. It comes down to headaches. It comes down to hospital visits. It comes down to children waking up in the middle of the night 4 or 5 times. And you were dead tired when you went to bed and dead tired when you got up. Well, don't get quiet on me here tonight. You know what I'm talking about. Why do we do these things? Why do we go down these roads? I'll tell you why. Because we passed by and we saw that little thing laying out there. And we looked at that. Amen. When we looked at that child that was born. Amen. That one that we had never seen and now we have seen. And all of a sudden they get a hold of your heart. All of a sudden you look at that and you say, this is the next president of the United States. And you look at that and you say, this is going to be a preacher. This is going to be that. This is going to be the other. And you get a sense of value. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, we've got to feel that way about our God. I said, we've got to feel that way about our God. It's more than just a shout. It's more than just talking in tongues. Oh, that's a big part of it. But that's a result of a commitment. Over the long term, it's a result of a commitment. And it really comes down to true, genuine, passionate love. Amen. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to stand with you. Amen. I'm going to walk with you. Praise God. And when you stumble, I'm going to pick you up. Praise God. When I get into your kingdom, I'm going to help your kingdom. I'm going to build up your kingdom. I don't have to have somebody to tell me to give. I want to give. I don't have to have somebody to tell me to live right. I'm going to live right. Amen. Because I've come to a sense of value, a sense of understanding. Amen. And it has led me to a commitment. Well, praise God. And there's nothing like serving the Lord for a long time. There's nothing like being in a long-term relationship. There's nothing like it in all of the world because you've made it through the ups and the downs. You've made it through the good times and the bad together. You haven't said, well, I want, and if you don't give it to me, I'm out of here. That isn't in the equation. But it's, I love you. I really love you. Amen. I'm going to be here for you. Amen. I'm going to work hard for you. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make you happy. I'm not worried about me making me happy. But I want to do whatever I can to make you happy. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know it's a foreign concept in our world today, but it is really the avenue of success. And that's what I want to preach tonight. What is the apple of your eye? Amen. What is the apple of your eye? What have you come to when it comes down to love? Jesus said you can't serve or you can't love the world and love God at the same time. You're going to come to a decision in your life somewhere where you say, I've cast my affections on things above, not on things beneath. I'm not worried about this world anymore. Oh, it's got its pull. It's got its things. It's got all of the lights and the bells and the whistles. But honey, I'm telling you tonight, it's not all about the party and the shouting. It's not all about the noise. and the music and the feelings. Amen. It's not all about the passion. It's not all about all of that sort of thing. Amen. But that's what's so attractive to people in the world. Let me show you what happened to Israel, and I'll finish with this here tonight. And I really feel like we need to spend a few minutes in prayer before we leave. But the Lord said in Ezekiel 16, I read it tonight, but then in verse 15, after God had done all of these things for them because of all of the things that are listed on the chalkboard tonight, Ezekiel 16 and 15, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty. If I can say it this way tonight, I really hope this helps somebody. I'm not trying to bring condemnation. We heard of him. We've reasoned. We've got a sense of value. It's led us to affection and commitment and love. But unfortunately, when we come down here to this very bottom line right here, Israel fell in love with their self. And they became self-centered and selfish, only thinking about what I want and what I'm going to do, and abandon everything else. Nothing else is important. The only thing is important is me. I'm only committed to me. My affection is what I want. My value, oh, I'm worth more than this. Reasoning. Well, I'm just going to think about this for a little while. And if you listen to the world long enough, they'll tell you, get everything for yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. I read some little post the other day, and the person said, I've come to the conclusion that it's all about making me happy. And I knew this girl. I pastored her when I was many years ago in Massachusetts. And I thought, dear God, you've come around full circle. God brought you to a place where you had the Holy Ghost, and now all you can say is, the only thing that's important in my life is making me happy. But she'll never find happiness. She'll never find joy. She'll never be successful because you cannot make yourself happy. And you'll never find enough people around you that will make you happy because those people are flawed. And they have problems themselves. There's only one place. I said there's only one place. I still feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Can we stand together? There's only one place. When we hear of him, it's up here somewhere. When we reason in our mind, all of a sudden we say, wow, this is better than the lottery. Oh, man, this is the most valuable thing I have ever found in my life. I can't wait to get into his presence. I can't wait to pray. I can't wait to worship. Commitment, no big deal. Love, I can't stop loving him because he is so very awesome. Now think about it tonight from the other standpoint of things. Think about it tonight. The Lord lifted them up. He blessed them. He did all of these things for them, found them out there in the middle of nowhere, brought them up and made them into a beautiful nation. How do you think God felt when they built the first idol and began to worship it? How do you think God felt? I'll tell you how God felt. God felt the same way that you would feel if the person you love the most called you up in the morning and said, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. That's exactly how God felt. I couldn't hurt him like that. I couldn't hurt anybody like that. That's why it's so confusing to me, and I'm still confused about it at my age, how people can just up and be gone. Not look back. See you later. We're headed to higher ground. I'm not casting stones tonight, but I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. And so, I want to get to the place where I never do that to Him. And if I ever do, I want to come back and say, God, I'm so sorry. And thank God we have a God tonight as full of forgiveness, full of mercy, and He still has a plan for your life. And He's willing to pick you up again, wash us off, cleanse us one more time, help us again, like a little child that is 9 months, 10 months, 11 months old, and we hold them up, set them down gently, and all of a sudden they just sit down, hold them again, and they sit down, and then finally the day comes when they fall down. And we, yay! We write it in a book. They took a step. Then it's two steps. And then before long, you want to put handcuffs on their feet. That's all they want to do is run and jump and do all kinds of crazy things. And it's like, oh, it's going to drive me crazy. We're God's children tonight. I can just see God when you pray through to the Holy Ghost. If there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents, how do you think God feels in His heart? There's a joy in God's heart. There's an excitement in God's heart. How do you think God feels when we come to the house of God and we could be doing other things and we lift our hands and we begin to worship Him? I'm telling you what, it's exciting to God. Praise the Lord. But on the other hand, it's exciting to me to come to the house of God and He's still here. In my human condition, He still loves me. He still cares about me. He still has a plan for my life. Amen. Why would I want to go out and do the things of this world and turn my back on someone who loves me so very, very much? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we need You more than anything. More than needing You, we want You more than anything. You're so awesome. This call of God is so awesome. This plan of God is so awesome. I could not imagine a day without You in my life. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. I thank You tonight for letting me hear the Word of God. I thank You tonight, Lord, for leading me to a place of affection and commitment and genuine love. Genuine love. Genuine love. Genuine love.